We are continuing in our growing together theme, and we have been listening for the ways throughout in which our ancestors in Scripture have used the language of this natural growth as a pattern for growth and nurture of the Christian community. And so we've been working from the ground up. We started with the roots. We need those, and we need our roots to grow wide and deep so that we might have a stable base. Last week, we talked about the vines and the branches, how they connect and convey life, and maybe a little bit how every now and then we need to do some pruning so that that life continues well. Today, we get to the sweet stuff. We get to talk about the fruit of the vine, and somebody was nice enough to bring me some. Thank you, Robin. Very nice. Maybe not what Jesus envisioned, but what we need. The church in Galatia ends up wrestling with this idea of fruit. See, Jesus calls us to bear this fruit, but what kind? It's hard to figure that out sometimes. So in the early years after the death and resurrection of Jesus, the church is trying to figure out what it means to be church together and how they could tell when they were on the right track. They had all the ingredients of church life, maybe with an extra topping of divisions and conflicts. No churches ever have those ever, but, you know, they had some. So the Apostle Paul writes, and he invites them to look for the fruits of their life to see if they are living in the Spirit. Now, this is my buddy Paul, so I need to warn you, he starts with a bad list. We're going to get to the good list. Hang on with both hands, will you please? Listen together for these words of Scripture. Listen together for the fruits of the Spirit. So, this weekend was the 88th annual meeting of the main conference, United Church of Christ. It's actually the 212th anniversary of our ancestor body. For 88 years, at least, though, we've been calling it the main conference of the main conference. This group has been gathering together to listen for where God was calling them. You, as it turns out, have a big part in that. You don't know it, but you send me to the main conference. And right now, it just happened to coincide that when I came here, I had a previous engagement as the chair of the main conference board of directors and as the moderator of the conference. So for the last 2 days, I've been in Saco with about 200 of our delegates. Shall I say, guiding the conversation. So I will own up to the fact I'm a little tired, but I have been thankful and strengthened by the prayers that I've received from many in the last week in this congregation, and even some I received while I was at the podium, and by the sight of us trying hard to figure out the way forward. In our way of life in the church, you will probably hear this word used a lot about this kind of thing. It's called discernment. Have you heard me say it? Do you hear it in a lot of other places in your life? I have a clergy colleague who stopped me in the hallway, and I must have said something about discernment. It's my watchword. And he said, "Oh, Jeff, don't say discernment. That's what we say when the church is going to kick a can down the road." Sometimes the jokes kind of sting on the way down. I do think it is the right word, though, for us. When we stop trying to make the right decision for what we want and listen for what God wants for us, it takes a profound reordering of our thought processes or our communal processes if we're working with some sort of team or committee or 200 and some odd people in Saco. You won't hear it around the office too much, or in your house, or on the news. We live in a world of what? Deciders. Not discerners. I will say, some things should simply be decided. Do not discern what to have for dinner tonight. Please. We try to do this in my family all the time. Just decide. Some things require a different kind of listening and process. And so it was for the early church. The church in Galatia was really up a tree with each other. They were in huge fights about who had the right way forward, the right holy bona fides. and fights because why not just more fights? So Paul asked them to examine their fruit to see what their ministry was bearing out. This can be hazardous if you have the wrong measure, right? In life right now, I think too often we are accosted by measures of fruitfulness that seem wildly distinct from that list that I just read. To be clear, the fruits of the Spirit are not success or even excellence or popularity or wealth or attention or easy living or hashtag best life or hashtag blessed life or anything else down that line. Yet, indeed, you will occasionally hear from people, you know, with, I'll admit, maybe a fancier pulpit to stand behind, something that we sometimes call the prosperity gospel, that asserts that you can measure God's presence in your life by the number in your bank account or the vacation that you last went on or just generally kind of how happy you feel. Remember when I do the thing with the kids, what's the difference between joy and happiness? I mean it. I think most of us are not that egregious, I would venture to say, but it is always tempting. When we experience the various good things in life, it is tempting to associate with some sign that we're on the right track, right? That maybe even as a sign of God's special presence or blessing in that. These are the things we notice easily. We notice very easily. Life getting just a little bit better for us, maybe. And notice we don't tend to think about that so much with others. We know the problem with this, right? The fancy theological term for this is theodicy. You can just read the whole book of Job in the Bible if you want a little primer. Life will find a way to correct you in this frame because, as it turns out, good things happen to bad people and bad things happen to good people all the time. We will get shaken out of that framework of thinking that just getting the good stuff in life means God is with us. I like an improved version. We've been thinking about him often since his passing last week, but Representative Elijah Cummings used to like to ask this question. He said, "Every time something bad happens to me, I don't ask the question, why did it happen to me? The question I ask is, why did it happen for me?" I want to be careful here. I want to go ahead and say, God does not give you the terrible things that you might have the opportunity to grow. I want to say, God has planted the seed in you that will flourish even in those times of challenge. The scripture says, God has the power to work all things for good. Not that God does the bad, but can work all things for the good. I like another way to think about this. We need to do that work, to look at our lives, to discover what might be being called out of us. So somebody said, listen to your life. They said, see it for the fathomless mystery that it is. In the boredom and pain of it, no less than in the excitement and the gladness, touch, taste, smell your way to the holy and hidden heart of it. Because in the last analysis, all moments are key moments, and life itself is grace. That was Frederick Buechner. Touch and taste and smell your way to the holy and hidden heart of it. Touch and taste and smell your way to the fruits of life. Because instead of looking for some sense of reward in the stuff of our life, we're called to listen deeply what grows out of our lives, our living as individuals and as communities. So this week, 725 people got fed Thank you, Jill. Thank you, Dottie. Thank you, Carrie. Thank you, all sorts of people. I had so much fun seeing every single one of you. 725 people got fed, but even more, 200 people fed them. So when I look around our community and I look what fruit is being borne out, I see 200 people showing up to serve. I see 200 people showing up to give their time and their treasure and their talents, John, that the community might be nourished and others might be fed. If we listen deeply to that fact, we do hear that fruit borne out. There was joy and there was patience and gentleness, I know, certainly, probably, in planning for that. And there was gratitude. And maybe the self-control mostly applied to the gravy, but otherwise. As we listen for those fruits of the Spirit in our common life, where we should head so that there is more joy and love and peace and gentleness and generosity, not just here, but in the world, right? That's where we're looking for the fruit to be borne out. One last thing, a warning about measuring before the right season. It is wonderful to have Kelly and Amy here to speak about My Sister's Keeper today because they remind us that when we are looking and listening for signs of fruitfulness, we do not determine the season. There is always a chance for new life, new fruitfulness, new joy, new peace, new patience in each of our lives and in the lives of others. So we all owe each other the opportunity to enter into new seasons that might give more life than the ones that came before. I'll say again what I like to say a lot. It matters a great deal where you stop telling a story. If you just stop any story midway through, you can turn almost anything into a nightmare. There is, in fact, a way to tell the Jesus story that stops on Good Friday. And what you have is a story that ends with betrayal and death. But the amazing thing about the Jesus story is that it asserts that the holiness that created us doesn't let silly things like book covers or empires or even death be the end of the story. Maybe today you need to hear it. Maybe today we need to be challenged to tell others what My Sister's Keeper knows. No one is defined by the worst chapter in their story. Indeed, God seems to like a challenge, seems to look for ways to take them to new heights, so much so that death itself became life. So much so that we have all been invited to be continually renewed and challenged to bear out more fruit in the Spirit. More love, more joy, more peace, patience, kindness, generosity. Listen to your life. It is not over yet. Listen to your story and the story of others, that we might follow in the ways of God that bear good fruit for all. Amen.